2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back, guys, to another flagship podcast by DFS Army for NFL DFS Week 6. I'm your host, Chapadong, and joining me are the CEO and founder of the Army, Kevin, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek, coach and contributor, Mitch, a.k.a. DFS and Donuts, and a special guest, Mitchell Renz, whose Twitter handle is at MitchellRenz365. This week, we aim to break down the DFS slate for you in a different format, where we all give our favorite plays at each position for both cash and GPPs with perhaps a little banter in between. At the end, we will have a little Q&A again, and we'll wrap up with a surprise segment that I concocted especially for our DFS geniuses, designed to get their initial reactions without any show prep at all. It should be a lot of quick-hitting fun, so let's get to it. What's up, boys?
What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, don't everybody speak at once, right?
Yeah, it's hard to tell without being able to see you guys, but no, really appreciate the invite. Can't thank you enough. And again, follow me on Twitter at MitchellRenz365. I'm a writer here at Chat Sports, fantasy footballers, fantasy pros, and gridiron experts.
Awesome. That was a hell of a bio. It's fun to have you. It's fun to get another voice in there. Kevin, let's get your thoughts, if you don't mind. Talk to Mitch a little bit. Tell him a little bit about the Army. Tell us about Week 5 and the wins inside DFS Army, and let's just roll from there.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we like to look back a little bit on last week, and there's really it's tough to talk about anything else outside of the big $150,000 cash by one of our DFS Army VIP members this past weekend, JayhawkFan25, came in second place in the FanDuel Sunday Million for a cool $150,000. And, you know, when we talked to him in Slack, which was unbelievable, I mean, he just couldn't believe it. He said it was like something out of a movie. He couldn't believe it was real. And you know, he'd been watching the game with his brother. And it's a whole nice story. But we asked him kind of how he put the lineup together. And Mitch, DFS and Donuts, put together a nice column about how that lineup was constructed. But in the end of the day, he said, you know, I didn't have much time to prep last week, so I just jumped on the website. I checked out Mitch's stacks, GPP stacks column, jumped onto the Geeks Picks column, and looked up the GPP only, some of the GPP only plays that we had pointed out, and put them all together, pretty much a no chalk lineup. And last week with the chalk explosion,
which means I wasn't involved.
Yeah, no. Well, last week we all saw what happened. You had Zeke Elliott put up kind of a dud score. You had Todd Gurley kind of dud it out. You had Carlos Hyde terrible. You had Le'Veon Bell kind of not worth it. So I think he had Fournette and Gordon at running back, and Gordon was a little chalk, but outside of Gordon, you know, Fournette was kind of off chalk compared to some of the other ones. And he put together this amazing lineup that came in second. Also, you know, a little bit of luck with the kicker from Kansas City who put up 20, and he got the right defense in Miami with 20 points. The next thing you know, $150,000. It can happen. It can happen to anyone. This is a grandpa, you know, just a regular player, seven entries, $150,000. It can happen. Very cool. Very cool
absolutely.
To see it.
And you say grandpa literally, not teasing the guy, because he ended his chat session with you with saying, I've got grandkids to put down for a nap. So
somebody's grandpa won 150 grand last week playing daily fantasy sports. Come on.
I'll tell you what, that pays for an RV trip to Florida, baby.
That pays for a lot of early bird specials.
There we go. I'll tell you what, guys, I am honestly fired up for week six with this new format. So honestly, let's just kind of dive straight in. I'm going to give the position of quarterback, and Kevin, we're going to get a cash and a GP pick from you, and then from Mitch Renz, and then from our buddy Donuts, and then we're just going to roll to the next position. So why don't you take a couple of seconds, you know, a couple of minutes, whatever, and talk a little bit about the cash versus the GPP pick. Kevin, fire away.
All right, so I'm glad I get to go first, because I get to take the easiest one of them all. And if anybody was watching primetime last week, we all saw what Deshaun Watson did. And it's not – obviously, the Texans lost the game, and if you hadn't been watching, you know, they scored late and this and that. But observing that game, this kid is legit. The cool that he portrayed in the pocket was not that of a rookie. He is a special, special player. Mitch, you're in Texas, so they must be going nuts over there for this kid because he looked amazing. He gets you points with his legs. He gets you points with his arm. He has a team that doesn't have much of a goal line run game, which is helpful for fantasy scoring. So everything about Deshaun Watson, and the best part is because the game was late, his salary locked in long before that game actually was played. And so this is your opportunity week, and unfortunately it's going to be at 60, or, you know, I was saying earlier, I think he'll be at least 35% owned in GPPs, the highest owned GPP quarterback of the season, and north of 50% in cash games. But how do you turn it down? This is your one opportunity to get a piece of Deshaun Watson at, you know, Kirk Cousins type salary. Trust me when I say this. Next week, this guy will be priced right alongside Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. So take advantage this week. Get on the train. That way, when his price goes up, you don't feel like you're getting on late. Feel like, well, I was on it last week. I'm going to keep riding it. But
where would you pivot if you had to? Or are you going to?
So there it is. You got to pivot. So you can't just play Deshaun Watson. Everybody's going to play him. Now, what I'm going to do in GPP in one sense is try to find like a different mix. I think a lot of people are going to use Watson with Fuller and Hopkins, obviously. I think there's going to be a lot of that. So a lot of stacking. So the, you know, and GPPs, the way to get off it is, you know, one of the sneaky ones is to pair him up with like a Ryan Griffin, you know, the tight end, or obviously the double stack is in play, although I do think that's going to be supremely high owned. But getting off Watson, my next play is Drew Brees. And I'm going to call him a GPP play because everybody this week who is not Deshaun Watson is a GPP-only play. Everybody who's not Watson will be low-owned. There's no reason to go to some wacky, like, Joe Flacco situation for low ownership because, again, Deshaun Watson's going to absorb everything. So I'm going to leave some of them out there, but I'm going to go with Drew Brees. He's at home. Brees off of bye weeks has been spectacular. Brees at home has been spectacular throughout his career. So there's a lot of narrative going for them. They have Detroit coming in, not a supremely scary defense by any stretch of the imagination, particularly just in general. I'm not even sure about the health of I'd feel better about this game if actually I knew Matt Stafford was going to play and be healthy. There's some question to his health situation at this moment, so I'm definitely going to watch that, but I like the game even better with a healthy Stafford and the possibility of a close and high-scoring game.
Awesome. Hey, Mitchell Renz, where are your – and I'll probably just call you Renz from now on if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
What do you see in the way of cash and GPP? Are you on the Deshaun Watson train as well?
I mean, it's kind of hard not to be on the Deshaun Watson train. I mean, this guy's, what, like 2 points away from being like the top fantasy scorer, and he really didn't even play week one. So, but he's going up against the Browns, and that's not really a matchup that I really want to go with on FanDuel because, like you said, like there's going to be so many people playing him. And normally when I go with a guy in FanDuel, I like to go with somebody who has a good matchup. And the guy who I'm going with this week actually, to be honest, guys, doesn't really have that good of a matchup. And it's Alex Smith. Alex Smith right now is priced at $7,500 on FanDuel, and he is the number one quarterback in fantasy football, but yet he's priced as the 11th highest. If you give me Alex Smith's numbers and put anybody else's name on there, he's not at $7,500. Like, this guy's having an incredible season. He's on pace right now. His career high in passing yards is 3,502 yards. He's on pace right now to break that by 949 yards. I think he right now is the MVP of the NFL leading that Chiefs team. And going up against the Steelers, yeah, like they're right now the number two ranked defense against quarterbacks. But Alex Smith has not been able to been shut down, and this Chiefs team looks good. So I'm going with Alex Smith.
I like
it. That's a bold call. Hey, Donuts, once again, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to take Watson in cash. Is there any differentiation there, or are you going to do something different in GPPs instead?
In cash games, it's going to be hard to pass up Watson. The Browns have given up 20.8 points per game to opposing QBs on DraftKings and 20.6 points per game on FanDuel. Both of those rank in the bottom five for defenses. Watson's combined for 845 passing yards in the last three games, and he's pumping out about 40 yards per game on the ground. You know, 40 yards equates to a passing touchdown on both FanDuel and DraftKings. It's that extra 4 points you get. So even though he might not be chucking 3-4 touchdowns, he might chuck five. But if he's not hitting those multiple touchdown games, he's going to get you another touchdown just based on the rushing yardage. He's just an absolute lock, and I'm not even going to think twice about not using him in cash games or in head-to-heads. For GPPs, I was actually going to choose Alex Smith, so I'm going to have to pivot off of Mitchell's pick. It's a great pick. I have a pivot to pivot. You can't double pivot. I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins. Redskins have a 29-point implied team total this week, and they're hosting the 49ers, who have allowed 321 yards passing per game over the past 3 weeks. Cousins is also perfectly placed near Watson on both FanDuel and DraftKings, which I love that because it makes him an unbelievable pivot at a similar price point. Watson is the cash lock, and I'll definitely have some exposure to him in a few GPPs. But specifically in large field GPPs, we're going to have to fade that type of ownership. And Cousins just isn't as sexy as Watson. And a lot of people, if they do hop off Watson, they're going to pay up for Breeze, maybe all the way up to Brady if his shoulder checks out. But that's why I'm going to keep down right in that same price range as Watson and just go with that price point pivot to Cousins.
Is it possible? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't mean to cut in, but I kind of didn't hear you all the way. Like, Alex Smith was going to be not my cash play. So I kind of just jumped the gun on that. So that's on me.
Yeah. That's your tournament play, I'm assuming.
Correct. Yeah, that was my bad.
I think we're all on
Watson.
No,
you're fine. We're all on track. I would be on Watson, too, to be honest with you. But is it possible that I am the contrarian of this group today? I don't think that's not physically possible, is it?
I've
been talking too much to our buddy Keith Hall. Because if I had to pick a GPP quarterback this week, and this is strict game theory, there are no stats to back this baby up, I would go to Big Ben.
No.
Big Ben's on the road. It's a terrible spot. It's terrible splits. But the dude just said that he doesn't even think he has it anymore. And there are too many times when I have heard guys talk like that, and they come out and they rage. And we know that he has the weapons to do so, and we know that Kansas City is cocky, and we know that they're primed for a letdown if they can be let down. And this is a trap type of game where they might be looking past him to the next game. And I can just see in a large, large, large field GPP, not my little 100-man specials, but in a large, large field GPP, a little stack with a affordable Big Ben and an Antonio Brown of some kind of combo working in there and actually sneaking up and biting a bunch of people right on the patootie. So most people are going to hate that pick, and I don't blame anybody in the world for hating it, but the chalk eater just came full-on contrarian on all y'all.
I like where your head's at.
you got a bigger Ben than I do on that one. I'm not doing that.
Dude, usually my cojones do not come in dump trucks, so this is probably my ballsy call of the year. Let's move on to running backs, where I promise I won't go quite so off the rails. Kevin, let's go back to you. Lead off with your chalk or cash running back, and then throw us your GPP pivot.
Okay, I'm going to qualify this by saying that I'm working with DraftKings pricing here, as opposed to FanDuel, although I don't know that it's that different this week. But my top play across the board is going to be one Jerick McKinnon, coming off of a spectacular performance in which it wasn't just what McKinnon did in the game, looking really good against a quality team last week in, oh my God, I'm having a brain fart on who they played, but the Bears against quality run defense, the Bears last week. The thing that gets me on McKinnon is A, once again, the sites, because that game took place late on Monday night, did not really adjust for the fact that watching the game, we saw that Latavius Murray is still clearly not 100% healthy. He looked slow. He looked almost a little bit gimpy out there. He was given the opportunity to take the job. It was going to be Latavius Murray as the sort of Matt Asiata, and with McKinnon playing the role of McKinnon from the past couple of years whenever Adrian Peterson would always get hurt. But what we saw was a completely ineffective Latavius Murray, and the Vikings kept McKinnon in there pretty much the whole second half at the goal line, passing plays. And what excites me about this Green Bay game is, you know, I think there's going to be a little bit of that. I think there's going to be a lot of passing plays. I think the game is going to be one of these ones that's hard fought, a lot of running plays. I love McKinnon here. I love him at 4,100 on DraftKings as the premier value play on the slate. He's my cash game lock. I have other ones I like in cash. Obviously, the studs and all of that, too. But I'm going to leave that to you guys to go over. My tournament play at the moment is going to be Elijah McGuire of the New York Jets. And this is assuming that Bilal Powell remains out for the week. I think the perception of this game is going to be, you know, it's the Patriots. The Jets are going to be behind big, and they're going to have to throw, and they'll probably abandon the run. And while I don't disagree with that, who the hell are they throwing it to? Like, they don't have another running back on the roster if Powell is hurt and if Forte is hurt. So if both of those guys are out or gimpy, I think McGuire is going to get a full workload. And my favorite type of running backs are those that are used in the passing game or those that are in there in the hurry up. And I expect the Jets to be in the hurry up pretty much for the entire second half of the game. I mean, the one concern is the Jets suck so bad that, you know, they just can't do anything on offense anywhere and blah, blah, blah. But the Patriots defense hasn't been super impressive by any stretch of the imagination. That's not to say that they're not going to get better. They will, and that they won't play a great game. They probably will, and they always dominate the Jets. But even if the Jets are being dominated, even last week, McGuire got a couple receptions, a bunch of targets. He is a pass-catching back. So I think he's going to be very, very low-owned. I particularly think he'll be low-owned if McKinnon turns out to be the chalk that I think he will, because people are really hesitant to play two cheap plays at running back. They always want to go stud and punt. So I think the double low-cost play will get uniqueness in tournaments. Mm. And I love this matchup, particularly on the PPR sites. Not a good defense. Teams at home. Rolling with Elijah McGuire, again, assuming that Powell and Forte are either gimpy, out, or in essence not a threat for the touches.
I agree, you're unique. Renz, where are you going? It ain't there.
For my cash play, guys, I'm going to go with C.J. Anderson against the Giants. So C.J. Anderson has been the workhorse for the Broncos, and he's especially the workhorse when Denver's at home. And the Broncos, when they're at home, they are a totally different team. That defense comes up to play even more, and they rely on that running game. And all three home games this season, C.J. Anderson has had over 20 carries. And if I can get a running back in today's NFL, it's going to give me 20 carries, and that's priced at $7,000. Like, that's something I'm all about. The Giants this season have given up 133 rush attempts. That's most in the NFL. That's an average of 26.6 rush attempts a game. I think this Giants team is probably the worst team in New York. I don't really think you can maybe argue that, which is a kind of a crazy thought. Ooh. No offense whatsoever in a game where I think Denver's just going to absolutely dominate them, and C.J. Anderson will be the reason why they dominate them. Heavy workload coming for C.J. Anderson. So he is my cash game play. My pivot, I guess, for my tournament play is a running back who I think also catches the ball. And he's had three solid weeks, and he's had one bad week, and he was just on a bye, and I think people kind of forgot about him a little bit. And that's Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson is going up against the 49ers. Currently, Chris Thompson is a top 10 running back. And like I said before, he had three great weeks. And then, yeah, sure, he had one bad week, but that week was against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. So I think we need to kind of just think about that a little bit more. But the thing that I really like about Thompson is, guys, like, I don't have to sit here and tell you, like, yeah, Chris Thompson can catch the ball. But also the 49ers this year have given up the most receptions to running backs, 35. And I just think, like, that trend continues. The Redskins are going to lean on Chris Thompson. And because when the Redskins' offense was working, it was running through Chris Thompson. So a running back priced at $6,000, who's currently a top 10 running back, going up against the defense who's given up the most receptions to running backs, sign me up for that all day.
I love it. Four picks, four different running backs. Donuts, are you going to make it six?
Yeah, you better believe it. So I do want to just add one thing real quick about Jerick McKinnon on DraftKings. I think he's going to carry such massive ownership in cash games on DK, it's actually going to be pointless to fade him. I really don't mind fading players when they're priced that value or overpriced, even when they're in a superb matchup. it's really, really hard to make up ground if an uber cheap player who's very heavily owned goes off. You're pretty much dead in the water right from the get-go. And last I looked, I think McKinnon was in the low 4K range on DraftKings. My cash game running back for the week is going to be Leonard Fournette. The Rams and the Jags have given up the second and fourth most points per game to opposing running backs. So I actually like both running backs in this game, the other being Todd Gurley. For cash game purposes, though, Fournette is a clear choice. He'll likely be where the field go with their ownership on FanDuel, where touchdowns are king. His team is home and favored by 3 points. I also like that his production isn't reliant on a passing game. On a positive game flow, and that he is used in the passing game. For GPPs, I'm going to name two real fast. I'll make it quick. Lamar Miller is a superb leverage GPP play this week on both sites because of the high ownership that'll be on Watson in the passing game. Yes, absolutely. Lamar Miller, his 74.43% snap rate, so that's 74% snap rate, is actually the fourth highest rate in the NFL for running backs over the past 3 weeks. His team has a 28-point implied team total. So you're locking in a running back who's going to play, you know, three out of every four snaps in a game where his team is projected to score four touchdowns. You're looking at possibly a guy who can get one, even two touchdowns. And second, I would add Todd Gurley for the bounce back narrative. I love stud players, and anytime you can get a stud player at a depressed ownership, whether it's due to recency bias, like our like week five from Gurley, or a perceived difficult matchup, I'm going to jump on that opportunity. Gurley currently has the third highest snap rate over the past 3 weeks. And the aforementioned Fournette, he actually has only played 56% of the snaps over the past 3 weeks. He's given the ball a ton during those snaps, but he's still being rotated in and out of the game. And all it really takes in a large field GPP is for Gurley to score a touchdown and Fournette to be taking a breather in the red zone and someone else scores the ball.
Chris Ivory steps in and vultures that bad boy.
Yeah, they've actually been throwing in Corey Grant here and there in the red zone as well, and he's been getting some rotations in on third down too. So
how about Oney Hunt last week and Charkantrick West gets the two touchdowns?
Oh, that hurt.
Brutal.
That hurt.
That hurt me in season long. We got like eight different names out there. You guys named both of mine, so I'm not even going to say them. I'm going to let our listeners try and figure out where I'm going with that, and just throw this one to the wide receivers. Kevin, right back to you, top of the heap here. Who is your cash and who are your GPP wide receivers this week?
Okay, so the wide receiver group is tougher, but since I get to go first, the easiest play on the board is once again for cash, DeAndre Hopkins. The target numbers for DeAndre Hopkins, the hog percentage, everything about this player is astronomical, and I'm just going to read off some numbers here. Hog rate, 20%. Hang on. 20% hog rate, 37% dominator rating, according to Player Profiler. This guy has been, he's averaging 12 targets a game. He is pretty much the highest projected points per dollar value play that we have. Whenever you have a player projected as the best value on the board, but he's also one of the most expensive plays on the board, that screams cash play. So I love DeAndre Hopkins this week. The primary concern here is ownership, but we don't worry about that too much in cash games. So there we go. And I have an interesting GPP plan. It's pretty obvious. I almost don't want to go with this one. I feel like somebody else is going to take it, but I'm doing it.
So, game theory within a podcast. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, well, for the GPP play this week, it's going to be Amari Cooper. And it's a lot more to do with salary than anything else. Listen, the question at this point with Cooper is, obviously, there's something off about him. Has it been bad luck? Has it been a lack of concentration?
Butterfingers.
Does he just suck now? I mean, I kind of lean towards he just sucks now, so I'm not touching this in cash at all, but I mean, at 5,000 on DraftKings for Amari Cooper, this guy was a second round pick. Nothing has changed in his situation. He's still, you know, the number two wide receiver on a team without a lot of other, you know, that doesn't spread the ball around all that much, that doesn't really have a dominant tight end or anybody, or a dominant pass catching running back that takes targets. And at some point, And we could say this every single week, but at some point this guy will have a decent game. I like the salary level has come down significantly, and I think he's burned enough people over the course of the first four weeks of the season to keep ownership somewhat diminished. And again, this was super GPP only because I don't trust him anywhere near a cash game at this point. And his drop rate is one of the highest I've ever seen for a wide receiver over the course of a season. Actually, I will get you the number. The second highest guy, wait. Okay, so Amari Cooper has an 18% drop rate, which is astronomical. The only person who comes close, actually there are a couple of receivers that come close, but nowhere near 18%. We have Keenan Allen coming in at 13%. Hasn't been talked about a whole lot. And yeah. Davante Adams, who I know is a pass dropper, who comes in at a 10% drop rate. So that's about as close as it gets. But he by far blows away the field with that 18% drop rate. What
defines boom or bust? So really and truly, that's what you want in a GPP. Are you along the same lines, Mr. Renz, or are you going in different directions?
So I might have to go in a little bit of a different direction. I mean, I like the picks, there's no doubt, but oh man, it's tough for me because I don't really know if I have a tournament play. I mean, I have more cash game plays. I mean, it's kind of tough for me right now. And I mean, like I said, guys, I'm going to go with Larry Fitzgerald for my cash game play. And I just think the value is there right now. And the reason why I say that is he's going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I think this defense right now is banged up. They're giving up about 48 points a game to wide receivers on their teams. And right now the Cardinals are passing the ball just at a ridiculous pace. I mean, 726 attempts is like what Carson Palmer's on pace for. And at $6,600, like that's just kind of what I have to roll with. So, I mean, he's going to be my cash play. And the other guy who I was thinking about going with, I guess for a tournament, if I have to just look at it real quick, is Jerron Brown, another wide receiver from the Cardinals. I mean, here's a guy who he had like 11 targets, 6 targets. So I'm kind of hoping he goes back to the 12 targets and gets rolling again. So those are my picks, and it's kind of for the same exact reason.
Jerron makes for what's interesting for Jerron in the tournament side is because, again, this is a guy who burned everyone last week. He was a super cheap punt play, fairly high owned for the player that he is, and he came through with a serious dud. So a lot of players are going to be hesitant to go back. So I do like that as a GPP pivot as well, also for that same sort of recency bias reason that helps mm-hmm. keep ownership down.
Always a good thing. Donuts, different direction for you two, or are you going to overlap a little bit?
No, actually, I'm going to be going a different direction here on both cash and GPPs. All right, so cash game. You know, on FanDuel, you know touchdowns are the name of the game. Chris Hogan just keeps scoring the football. He's had 5 red zone passing targets over the last 3 weeks, and he's caught all 5 of them for 5 touchdowns. He's 7,500 right now, and he's basically priced at value. Maybe a little bit of wiggle room on the up and up, but it's unlikely that he goes out and catches 10 for 150, you know, a couple scores. In this current version of the Patriots offense, I think we've seen his ceiling over the last several weeks. You're going to get 6 or 7 grabs for maybe 70 yards and a score. But the Pats do have a 29-point implied team total. And Hogan's as good as bet as anybody to score the football this weekend. He also has a 97.5% snap share, and he runs 33% of those snaps out of the slot. And he is just a very reliable player. And at that mid-7K price range on FanDuel, I don't mind just plugging him in there. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins on both sites, and even over at Fantasy Draft. For cash games, he's an absolute lock. Just with the 61 targets, he's received his second highest in the league. He's been targeted in the red zone 7 times this year, and he caught 5 of them. All 5 catches, they were all touchdowns. He's due for some regression here soon, but his high volume makes him perfect for those cash games. For GPPs, oh my goodness, I love Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs offense has scored more than 20 points in every single game this season and scored 42 points on 2 separate occasions. They just can't be stopped. And they have the GOAT, Alex Smith, leading the offense right now up and down the field. He can't be stopped either. I think Chiefs offense and their defense as a whole will be under-owned this week. And I really like every piece of the pie. Kareem Hunt should be under-owned relative to whom he's priced around. Tyreek Hill and Alex Smith make for a great home run stack. And I love playmakers like Tyreek Hill being priced around guys with limited ceilings like Golden Tate. And they're very similar price range on both FanDuel and DraftKings. That dude's just an absolute dream crusher with his really low ADOT. And I'm just going to throw this punt out here. I was going to save it for the VIP article, but Taylor Gabriel, he might be the number two wide receiver for the Falcons on Sunday, as Marvin Sanu hasn't practiced yet. I don't think Gabriel has a massive ceiling, but he can definitely three times or four times his salary on both FanDuel and DK. He's a home run threat, and the increased volume without Sanu, that might give him the bump he needs. You also just never know when Julio Jones isn't going to have one of those soft tissue injury pops up. And, you know, if the Falcons are up with a little cushion, they might bench him and just protect him. That would make Gabriel the de facto primary target. This is all game three, though, so I wouldn't go too heavy on this situation. If you're going to target someone like Gabriel, keep it to those large field GPPs.
I definitely like that.
You guys are killing me.
I want to add one little thing to what Mitch just said. As a bonus for the Tyreek Hill pick, and I don't like to call this a bonus, but Kelsey's concussed right now. We don't know if he's going to play. And, you know, Kelsey eats a lot of those the target share for that team. And they also lost for the season, I believe it was
Chris Conley.
So, again, not that Chris Conley got a ton of targets on that team, but if we're talking about a Chiefs team that's down Conley, that's down potentially Travis Kelsey, you know, what are they doing right now? Right now they're dreaming up plays for Tyreek Hill because they're like, oh, shit, these guys are not going to play. So we need plays for Hill. So right now Andy Reid is doing the mad genius thing, Xing and Owen and arrows all over the place, all about Tyreek Hill. So I really love that choice.
I'm going to say Big Ben brings the noise once again. But I do. I love the Chris Hogan. I love the Chris Hogan comment because I think Chris Hogan is this year's Eric Decker on FanDuel. And Mitchell Renz and I might seriously be rowing in the same boat here because what you said on Fitzgerald and what you said about not really having a GPP pick in mind at receiver. I mean, dude, that's me. So anyway, let's in the interest of saving time, guys, I want all of our listeners to know that they can find all of our expanded thoughts, all of our on our respective sites where we go into greater detail, offer more suggested plays and players, things like that. Our VIP pod, for those of you that are newer to the DFS Army, airs each Friday. Kevin hosts that, runs through his picks, runs through the games, goes into a lot more detail. So definitely stay tuned for that. Let's move quickly through tight end and defense just so we can get to the Q&A and wrap it up with that last segment because we're starting to run a little bit long on time. And we know that we need to let Mr. Renz head out to another podcast that he's doing. He is a very busy man. So Kevin, cash and GPP tight end real quick.
Cool. So in cash this week, I mean, the tight end position is always interesting. It's always fascinating, all of that. In cash this week, I'm going back to the well with Austin Seferian Jenkins. He looked really good last week, but more importantly, for his salary, he's basically the number one wide receiver for the Jets. This is not a tough matchup against the Patriots. We know the Patriots are going to put up a ton of points, so Jets are going to be in catch-up mode. They're going to be throwing a lot, and they don't really have a lot of other targets in the passing game that are viable. So I think Seferian Jenkins is a good bet for 6 to 8 targets in this game. And at 4,300, you know, he can get me 12 points, 14 points on my cash team. I'm really excited about it. My tournament play, and I'm going to go back to something I talked about before. My tournament play is Ryan Griffin. And the reason he's my tournament play is because everybody's going to be playing Watson, Hopkins, and Fuller. So, you know, Watson and Hopkins, Watson, Fuller. So I think that in tournaments, much like you talked about how Lamar Miller might be this interesting pivot off of Watson in tournaments because, you know, he's going to be running for touchdowns. That's costing Watson touchdowns. Well, I kind of think that Ryan Griffin is a potential interesting pivot off of DeAndre Hopkins / Will Fuller in tournaments as well. So I'm going to go with Ryan Griffin at tight end as a GPP play.
Interesting. Same sentiments, different sentiments, Mr. Renz?
Well, I mean, well, you stole the ASJ one from right on underneath my hands. I mean, he's a guy I've been writing about for Gridiron Experts today. So
nice.
I really won't go into that, but he's the guy I was going to play for cash just because the targets have been there and tight end has just been such a horrible, I guess, position this year. But another guy who I'm going to go with and for tournaments play, and it's going to be Evan Engram. So it's going to be the wide receiver. I call him a wide receiver, the tight end for the Giants. And the reason is, I mean, at 5,300, he's going up against Denver. And, yeah, like, I get it. Denver's defense is scary. But who the heck is Eli Manning going to throw to? No Odell Beckham, no Brandon Marshall. Probably no Sterling Shepard. I would imagine the number one option there is going to be Engram. And Broncos have been great on defense, there's no doubt. But, I mean, they are seventh worst against tight ends this year. I mean, if there's one way the Broncos have been able to get beat this season, it's by the tight end. So I'm kind of just – people see the name Broncos and they totally stay away from it. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm going Evan Engram.
I like it. It's another bounce back spot. Donuts, where are you going?
Well, I just want to say I feel relatively confident that Eli Manning is going to be targeting the Denver cornerbacks with regularity. He knows who he's throwing it to. It's guys in red, guys in orange, basically.
Donuts, swing for the fences, my man.
All right, so for cash, man, I'm just going to echo what Mitchell was saying. You know, it's been just brutal. It's been a minefield trying to select tight ends this season. So I'm going to pay all the way up this week in cash. And, I'm looking at Gronk. You know, the guy's been in and out of the lineup, over the last couple of years, but this season when he's been active, he has a 91.5% snap share. His 20 receptions is still top 10, 318 receiving yards is third highest in the league. He has 193 air yards, which is actually the fourth highest, fourth most amount out of all tight ends. And he is just a freaking beast when he has the ball. He has 125 yards after the catch, which is the third highest. He's only surpassed by Vernon Davis and Ed Dickinson because of their ridiculously long grabs that they both had over the last couple weeks. Gronk also has 10.6 yards per target, which is a really underestimated stat to look at when you're targeting those guys that work the middle of the field, because they usually have a little bit lower ADOT. You know, think of someone like Golden Tate. You know, they don't really stretch the seams. They don't really work outside too far. They're really that underneath guy. Gronk isn't that underneath guy like a lot of tight ends are. He really can stretch the field. So, you know, he's a great cash play, but you know as good as anybody else that Gronk in any given day can score 2-3 touchdowns and just absolutely make your lineup. For GPPs, I'm going to go with Austin Hooper, and it's, you know, for the same vein as why I was looking at Taylor Gabriel. I love targeting tight ends on teams with high implied team totals. Tight ends get targeted on average a little over 20% of the time in the red zone. Hooper has a 19% red zone target share this season. If Sanu is out, there'll be a small bump. And if Julio goes down again, or if they rest him a little bit in the second half, if they're up big, Hooper's going to see even more of the share. They can't really, you know, if they get in the red zone and start throwing fades to Taylor Gabriel, it's just not his game. So, yeah, let's stick with Austin Hooper, and let's get the defense as fast as we can so we can get to that sweet Q&A you had.
Absolutely. Kevin, where are your defenses for cash? And I don't know if we need a tournament play. They're as volatile as it gets. So, I mean, who's cash safe in your opinion? If you want to throw a GPP out there, fine, go for it.
I'm going to obviously let's forego the obvious Denver Broncos choice, right? I mean, that is the ultimate and easy cash play. So I hope everybody knows that and just looks at the slate. Plus, the Broncos aren't on the DraftKings main slate. So I'm calling the Broncos as a – we don't even need to mention that one. And my interesting defense play of the week is the Atlanta Falcons. And mainly because Jay Cutler's going over there, and we all know – what Jay Cutler is, and he is a fellow that does not give a fuck. So he sucks.
D-gaff.
He throws interceptions. He does not seem to even care about winning. He does not seem to care about being good. I don't know what the hell this guy's problem is, but he's terrible, and I don't think that he's going to be able to stand up. The Falcons' defense has been a little bit better this year than in the past, and I think they're going to dominate the Dolphins.
Awesome. Are we rolling on to Mitchell Renz for this one?
Yeah, that would be – I mean, I'd appreciate that. I mean, I'm on here for a reason, so.
There we go.
No, so I guess the defense I'm going to go with, and, yeah, it's not, I guess, the biggest tournament play. I mean, obviously, like, the Broncos I think are the best one, but I'm going to go with the Ravens. And the reason I'm going with the Ravens is I think anytime you can find a quarterback who's on a short week – which Mitchell Trubisky is, and he's now going on the road, his first road game in the NFL, and the Ravens are a much better defense at home than they are on the road, and I just think it's like that combination of anything, and I don't know. I mean, I don't really think you can trust anybody at quarterback with the name Mitchell, so I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Ooh, you slapped two of you.
Mitch Byrne.
Yep, Donuts, you're up.
I'm going with the Washington Redskins. They have a 11-point spread right now. They're favored by 11 points, and there's a few studies out there by a couple different sites and writers that the most important aspect you're looking for when you're looking at targeting a GPP defense is the spread. It's not necessarily the implied team total of the opposing team. It's the spread. The higher the spread means you're looking at a team who's going to be playing from behind, which means they're going to be passing more, and your defense has the chance to rack up more sacks, interceptions. Pick six. If you look at the Redskins, they had 12 sacks on the season. They have 4 interceptions and 3 fumble recoveries. So, 7 turnovers and 12 sacks in just 4 games. They scored 12, 7, 14, and 4 on FanDuel. They're going to be at home. San Francisco is traveling West Coast to East Coast, and they're starting at 1 o'clock, which is 10 a.m. for them. Everything just chalks up to it, the Redskins being in a superb position. And although I still like the Falcons a little bit better, the Redskins are definitely going to be seeing a fair amount of my investment on this weekend's slate.
Well, there you go. That ought to wrap up most of the positional stuff. Any final words before we jump into this Q&A?
No, let's do it.
I guess not. This was submitted to us by a VIP of ours, RK101785. Some of the names in our Slack are awesome. I mean, they're combinations of letters, numbers. Some of them are creative as all hell. This one is a multi-part, and it's pretty complex, and I'm sorry that I didn't get this to you ahead of time, Mitchell, but I'm going to try and read it to you as best I can. Do all of you attack every slate on a normal basis, or do you decide based on your player pool? For example, say your core is heavy on the afternoon slate. Will you also play the main slate, or will you play the afternoon only since that's where your core is the heaviest? Or would you search for a new core if you're going to attack a different slate? So let's kind of stop that there. And Kevin, Mitchell, and Donuts, let's kind of try and run through that one. Do you attack this slate on a normal basis, or do you decide based on your player pool what slate you're going to attack?
That's a really interesting question. My answer to it is, and I do approach slates differently, but my answer to it is I attack, outside of the main slates, I love those, and I'll consider the Thursday through Mondays and all of that. But when it comes to like these little smaller ones, the afternoon ones and the midday ones, no, I don't really do that. I don't do it as a hedge. I will get involved with the slate heavier if I think I have a personal edge in it. So much more important to me than hedging other things or anything like that is if I'm looking at, let's say there's a 3 or 4 game grouping, and I think that somebody who is going to be in there who's going to be chalked because there's few games, but that I think is a bad play. I remember I have a memory last year of a slate with a 2 or 3 game slate with the Packers in it where, there weren't a lot of big name running backs, and Eddie Lacy was the most expensive one. And I'm not an Eddie Lacy user, right? I would never use him in daily fantasy or he was terrible already. So I thought that I could get advantage in that slate just by going heavy on no Eddie Lacy. And it was a 3 game, and Eddie Lacy was like 70% owned, even though he was terrible, just because he was the most expensive and the only known. And I don't remember who the other ones were, but they all outscored him. And so that was the edge. And that's basically what I look for. Even this past weekend, I wrote the primetime slate, the Sunday-Monday slate. Well, I thought it was really easy to eliminate Trubisky as a player that I was going to consider in my lineups. So writing him off, and then kind of writing off Sam Bradford too as someone who was coming off an injury, so I didn't really want a lot of him. So I was able to kind of go in with Deshaun Watson, who at that point wasn't the uber chalk he is now, but rather, he was good. And that's how I took first place in that GPP. I didn't really think that the second game was going to bring a lot of goodness. And I think a lot of other people did. They had a lot of Thielen and Diggs and some of these other players and a lot of terror, especially Cohen and Howard, who I didn't like. So I like to get involved in slates if I think I have an edge outside of the main slate, which, you do it because, hey, I'm watching all the games. But for the shorter ones, I'm looking for if I have any kind of edge or a feeling that I can beat the field with it. And if I don't, I'll just skip it.
Okay. Mitchell, do you use your player pool to dictate what slate you get in, or do you pretty much just play one slate week to week?
Well, I mean, I'll be 100% honest. FanDuel and like all this stuff is actually illegal in Dallas, which I just found out a few weeks ago when I moved down here. So that kind of sucks. But
we gotta get you on DraftKings because that is going in Dallas.
I know. I gotta get on that. It's just, I'll be honest, guys. I don't really watch. I don't have time to watch football because I work on Sundays now, and we do a lot of stuff while we're here. But
Mitchell, it's really easy, man. You go to dfsarmy.com, use promo code Chiefs ST, Chiefst. You're in like Flynn, man.
All right. No, I mean, I'll give it a shot. No, there's no
sorry
doubt,
to derail you, but that was too easy a free plug. So.
No, man, I'm all about plugging. Believe me, that means more than one thing. So, no, I guess for me, I guess when I play slate, I like to get in the Thursday night games because normally. The Thursday games are pretty crappy unless you're the Rams or 49ers. So I kind of agree with everything that was just said, but I kind of go for the Thursday slates. I mean, I don't know. Anytime I can watch football, that's what I like to get into. So.
Very cool. Donuts, what about you?
Yeah, I just have to say, if I ever moved anywhere and found out that DFS was banned there, that's grounds for moving back to wherever I left. for as far as like DFS goes and the slate I'm going to play, I play them all. I'm just such a degenerate. I love to play all the slates. For each of the slates, I actually use them. The reasoning is twofold. If I have found a play, maybe I'm looking at someone like Taylor Gabriel for the early, the 1 p.m. early 7-game slate, and I think that's just my edge right there. I'm going to stack Ryan with Gabriel and Hooper. Okay. And I'm looking at that thinking, here it is. I have a huge edge here with a couple guys that are going to be 3-4% owned. I'm gonna play a little bit heavier on this 1 p.m. slate. The other ways I will use some of the afternoon slates or those prime times is I'm gonna hedge wherever I invested my most money. So if I've invested quite a few pennies into FanDuel on the 1 p.m. main slate, and maybe I have let's say 55% of my investment on Tom Brady, maybe in the afternoon or the prime time, I'm going to make sure I have a little bit of the defense going against Brady. It's not the best way to increase your return on investment, but I don't mind capping my ROI to make sure that the bottom doesn't just drop out.
Makes tons of sense. There's a second question to this that I want to get to really quick, then we'll fire off that last segment and we'll wrap things up. It's kind of a separate question, Kevin. When playing smaller GPPs, like 20 max entry and lower GPPs, will you go all in on a single QB stack combo, or do you break it up into, you know, something a little bit more evenly spread out, like of the 20 entries, maybe 10 on this stack and 10 on that stack, or 10 on this one, 5 on this one, and 5 on this one? How do you, in those 20 max and lower GPPs, how do you break up your key core plays?
Yeah, I think you got to sack up on those and just take a couple of couple of swings. So I don't think you have to approach that really different from a max multi-entry 150 lineups scenario where you really need a little taste of everything. I think in like those 21, which I like, I think they're really cool that DraftKings put out the sort of limitation for 20 max for everything four and under. And I like those contests, but yeah, I do think you have to sack up and go all in quite a few spots. Doesn't mean I have to use just one quarterback. I might do two or three, but I'm certainly not going to do a whole bunch. But I will have core in those 50-60% ownership in some positions because you just can't get enough exposure to particular plays in a 20 lineup mix with trying to be too spread out and too much ownership spread. It just doesn't work. So you have to really go heavy on a few different plays, much heavier than I would if I was doing 100 or 150 lineups, no question.
Okay. Mitchell, anything to add to that?
No, I'm all in. That's kind of how I do it, too. I go all in.
Donuts?
Yeah, that was a fantastic breakdown, Kevin. For me, it all depends on how my research is kind of pointing me and what direction. This week I'm looking at this Alex Smith to Tyreek Hill stack without Kelce, Baby Gronk, and Chris Conley. You know, you're looking at a guy who is going to be the primary target for a team that scored over 20 points every game this season, 42 on two separate occasions. You know, Tyreek Hill is just about my favorite GPP play on the entire slate, not just wide receiver. So if I have something like that where I'm looking at this guy and I just think that the sky's the limit, I'm going to go 100% Tyreek Hill on all 20 lineups for, you know, a limited entry. But if I don't have that play where I'm not feeling that confident, I will spread that out a little bit more, but I'll still have my favorite plays around about 60 to 70%.
Sack up. Because scared money don't make money.
True that. All right, 100% everybody. I'm making one lineup.
That was awfully funny. Mitch, I think you cheated, and I think that you read my mind on my next segment coming up here that I kind of pulled out of the air so that I could catch you guys off guard. This is going to totally shoot my wad, so thanks for that. You guys, this is a segment that I'm calling Who's Your Daddy? And the reason that I call it that is, who is the one play, Kevin, that if you had to, I couldn't get that guy out of your lineup with a grenade and a stick of dynamite. Who is that one play across the whole slate that you can't get out of your cash lineups or your GPP lineups this week?
Again, I'm going to go away from the Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins combo, and I'm going to say Jerick McKinnon. That's my guy this week. You know, Chop, you've been following me for many, many years, right? You've been a reader on the site.
Since I was four, baby.
Many years. And what's my favorite thing? It's the full workload running back at cheap prices on a good team. And that's what the scenario is. I mean, I think when these situations come up, when you have somebody thrust into a role, they're not priced for it, it's a full-time role, and we've seen them perform already and seen them be successful in the role, and they're used in the passing, you just got to go for it. People get scared because the price is cheap and they think it's a punt or the projection isn't that big. No, we saw what he did last week. And the one risk with McKinnon is that Latavius Murray all of a sudden is good next week and he plays his way onto the field, but that's pretty rare. And I'm willing to take that chance. So I love Jerick McKinnon this week. He's my top play across the board.
Sweet. Mitchell Renz, who's your daddy?
I guess my daddy's C.J. Anderson. I love C.J. Anderson this week, 7,000. He's going to get a guarantee over 20 touches against this Giants team who is just absolutely depleted. I don't even think the Icebox could save this team right now. I mean, these guys are just totally, totally out of it. And C.J. Anderson at that price, over 20 touches, sign me up for that.
I like the Anderson call because he's on a bunch of my season-long teams too. So hoping for a big week from him for sure.
Mr. Donuts, who's your daddy?
I am so glad you're giving me a third opportunity to talk about Tyreek Hill just a little bit more. This is a guy that people look at as one of those gimmick players who's going to be in and out of the lineup when he's only going to be used. That's not true. He has a 79.3%. Now, let's not short him here. 79.3% snap share on the season with a 22% target share, which actually is 21st in the NFL. He has 148 yards after the catch, which is the fifth most. We all know he's electric, but what's underrated are his air yards. He has 208 air yards, which is 17th most for wide receivers. That means he's not that guy you think that is just getting bubble screen after bubble screen. They're throwing the ball down the field, and he's stretching the field a little bit. Alex Smith's quarterback rating when he targets Tyreek Hill is 126.6. In a week where Alex Smith to Tyreek Hill is going to be under-owned, and it's a connection that the two of them have together, when Chris Conley and Kelsey are both possibly out of the lineup, and you're going to get Hill possibly peppered with 10, 12, 15 targets if it's a close game, you know, Alex Smith, that high QB rating when he throws to him, his stats are going to go up. Tyreek Hill with his 73.5% catch rate, top 15 in the NFL, his stats are going to go up. I can't get enough Tyreek Hill, and the more I talk about it, I can't get enough Alex Smith.
You're convincing me, by the way. I feel like now I'm going to have a ton of Tyreek Hill and C.J. Anderson. Like, I'm on board with all of this. So
last week, my wrap-up. Yeah, exactly. Last week, my wrap-up was all in on Deshaun Watson and game stacking that KC Chiefs game, the Chiefs and Texans on that Sunday Night Football, and talking about how I thought that game was going to hit the over. So could I go two for two?
I love it. I think so.
We're going to find out. You guys, I really appreciated this format. I think that it was a lot more efficient. I loved having Mitchell Renz on as a guest. I hope that you come back and join us another time when you can fit it into your busy schedule. It was a blast. Kevin, Donuts, Mitchell, any final words from you guys as we send this one off into week six?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll kick it off and just say, you know, like, thank you guys. Like, I think it's, like I said, I love that you guys, like, reach out to me and wanted me to get on the show. And I think anybody who's, like, trying to get into fantasy football, and luckily I can do it now full time, and I've been very blessed and met a lot of amazing people like yourself to help me get to where I am. So if you guys ever want to probably, you know, get on a Chat Sports Live, let me know. I can probably hook you up.
I like that, Mitch. It's good to meet you and get to chat a little bit. I certainly followed Chat Sports a little bit, and so that's exciting. And hopefully, give us a call. We'd be glad to talk some more fantasy football with you there, and hopefully have you back on the show. And I thought you brought some really good insight to the table. So thanks for coming on.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. That'll wrap it up as we ship this one off into the sunset for Week 6 DFS Army's flagship podcast. And tune in Friday for Geeks Picks, where our VIPs get the goods on where the mind genius Kevin, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek, is headed. So once again, this is your host, Chopadong. And for Kevin, for Mitchell, and for Mitch, thanks for joining.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Yeah.